Sure, yeah.
Okay. I have an income here, see? I have the downstairs and that on the alley. So I'm just going to live here as long as I can get up and down the steps.
Okay.
I'm not going to live on the alley, and I hate to take the... There's four bedrooms downstairs, and so I don't need that.
Hmm.
But anyway, I'm happy up here. I had the metal steps put in when I broke my arm, because
uh-huh.
I couldn't sweep the steps going down.
Huh. Can you remember any stories of any happenings in this neighborhood? Any exceptional events or unusual people?
Oh, not right off. I can't think of anybody. I really can't.
Yeah.
It was just I know that the Goodman's over here, that's the first big house on the other side facing this way. They bought that house because there was a dentist on it, and he was in the reserves, and when the war started in 41, why, he had to go to war. And so Marguerite Goodman, their mother, she was working in his office, and so she bought the house. And, well, her husband had to go to war too, Bill Goodman did. But they had twin boys, and so they've lived there. One of the twins is living there now. Their dad died. The mother died several years ago, and then the dad died 4 or 5 years ago.
Mm.
But anyway, this house, well, the one right there with the red roof, they have 6 children, and I got acquainted with them when they first moved in.
Uh-huh.
They only had 4, and then they had 2 more. And
That's 735, yes. Uh-huh.
Uh-huh. And he's a professor at the college. Don May.
Uh-huh.
Do you know him?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
He's a nice guy.
Yeah. Yeah, my grandson went to him. Well, he came down here. He was raised in Denver, and he didn't like Denver, so... His dad was living down here. They were separated. And anyway, he took 2 years of engineering, and that's all they offered. And he had to go back up to Greeley, and he didn't want to go back to Denver. So I guess he talked to Don May, and he took engineering bookkeeping from Don. And so then he went about 5 years up here, and he made wonderful grades, and he hasn't done a thing with it. He's in Florida now doing something, I don't know what. But he refused to go back to Denver, and I never did know why, because he was on the football team up there, and he was good. They beat every game until the last one, and they had to play Cherry Creek. And the kids were all 30 pounds heavier and 3 inches taller. And they fought. That's the last time that Cherry Creek was in the same bunch as the other schools were, because the kids were all too big. This was high school.
Mm.
And so anyway, but he was a good football player. But he didn't play when he came down here, because they weren't winning any games. He was used to winning.
The college was.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But... anyway, well, he had a problem, too. He, I don't know really what it was, but the strap on his helmet made him break out. And they said he had to take shots that cost $40 a month to keep him going, so he decided not to play.
Mm.
But,
What have you done for your leisure activities during your life, you know? You don't play football, but...
Leisure
play,
with
what?
3 children?
Yeah.
I didn't have much leisure. Yeah. I drove a taxi quite a bit. But, I don't know. I never did... Well, I didn't work until my husband had a heart attack, and then I went to work. He was driving... He drove the bus from here to Gallup, New Mexico. The man that ran that started the bus, Mr. Stone, his parents lived right next door to my husband's parents. And we were all over there for dinner one Sunday, and everybody got out in the front yard at the same time, and Mr. Stone came over and asked Ed to drive the bus. He He never had to look for a job here. Of course, he started working when he was in the eighth grade, and somebody'd always offer him a job. So he was working for the Crotos, had a bakery. It was across the street, not where the old bakery was. And he was working there, and he was hauling bread and stuff to Cortez and Dolores and all those places. So he had to give him 2 weeks' notice, and then he quit. They weren't very happy when he quit, but he started driving a bus. And then Stone sold it. Well, he was driving to Gallup first, and then they put on the run to Albuquerque. And, of course, he was a top driver, so he had his choice, so he took Albuquerque. And then they sold it I don't even remember who the guys were now. And Ed came, well, he worked quite a while for him. And he came out of Albuquerque three times before he got through Bernalillo. The bus wouldn't run. And then he got home and his check bounced. So he walked in the front door and says, "I quit my job." I never said a word. He'd always supported me, so I figured he'd go on. So he helped finish that, the Needham School over there on Junction Creek? He went over and worked on that, helped finish that. And then he did different things. And when he had the heart attack, he was driving for the movies. And they were up on Miller Mesa, about 13,000 feet in the air, when he had this heart attack.
From people who were making movies?
Uh-huh. Yeah. They were from Hollywood or wherever they come from. I don't know. And we've got a lot on our movie camera. We had a movie camera, and he took a lot of them on that while he was waiting, you know. And one time he had to ride a horse with one arm. I don't know what happened, but he had to ride this horse with just one hand. He had to put the other hand down inside of his coat, you know, jacket. Down over logs and everything else. Well, he'd always ridden horseback, but he wasn't that good, but he made it. And this was all on the movie. But anyway, when he had the heart attack, why, he just felt bad. So they always have an intern on those movie sets. So he went to the intern, and he put him in a limousine and put him on oxygen, took him to the hospital in Ouray. And then I couldn't get him out of the hospital. Dr. Lloyd, did you know him? Anyway, he delivered all my children. And I was over there, and Ed's mother, and we were eating in that little restaurant at the swimming pool. And I saw Danny Lloyd standing out there. And so I went out and asked him if his dad is, because they had sent somebody over from Montrose to take a cardiogram, and they didn't know how to read it. And so I went out. This friend of mine that was a nurse, she nearly died when I told her this. I said, I asked Aunt Danny if his dad was there, and he said, yeah. He and his mother were overeating, and he was watching the little kids. You know, they had 6 children in the swimming pool. And so then I saw Dr. Looney come, so I dashed out and asked him if he knew how to read a cardiogram. And this nurse just nearly died. Well, he's in the blue book of doctors. I said, well, I didn't know it. All I ever had him do was doctor my kids after he delivered them. Anyway, he went over and looked at Ed, and he told me that I had to get him out home before the 6th day. So I kept calling this doctor, and he wouldn't release him. Well, the sheriff was living in Ed's mother's upstairs apartment. And so he told her, or I guess he called Ed, and told him that when he could come home to let him know, and he'd drive the ambulance, and it wouldn't cost him anything. So I got up at 7 o'clock and called this doctor. He said, yeah, he'd be at the hospital at 9 o'clock. So I called the sheriff, and he came up, and the doctor never showed up till noon. But I finally got him out. And when they got him down here, they had built that little new addition that they put on the hospital quite a few years ago. And they had a room all set up with him, wired up with oxygen and everything he needed. And he didn't need anything when he got here. In fact, he didn't have oxygen in the ambulance. And I had the car up there, and a friend, one of the other drivers, wife, drove my car back, and I came back on the ambulance with him.
What was that drive like in those days?
It was pretty good.
We're talking about the, when did he have his heart
Silverton.
Attack? When did he have his, was that in the 80s? 1980s?
Let me think. Kenny was in the second grade.
So.
Now, he was born in 46.
Yeah, so that might have been in the 50s, huh?
Oh, yeah, I think so.
So what was that road like between
it
here and
it wasn't
your
too bad. I drove it all the time. Of course, you know.
It was all paved, was it?
I think so. Huh. I wouldn't swear. I think it was. See, you went over Red Mountain to get to your Ray, right?
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. No, I don't think it was too bad. I can't remember. Of course, I was used to driving on. I learned to drive on those roads.
Yeah.
I learned to drive between here and Pagosa Springs. And they had a tree right in the middle of the road. They never did cut that big tree down for years. They finally did. And you'd just get shifted into second gear. And then here'd be the tree, and you'd have to go back to low. Anyway.
Did you all ever go into any of the hot springs at Pagosa or at
Oh,
your
yeah.
Lake?
Lots of times. Well, Trimble. We went to Trimble, and what's the one above Trimble? Used to be,
I'm drawing a blank, too, but
I can't think of it now. Anyway, yeah, we went in there.
And what was Trimble like in those days?
Well, because Trimble burnt, you know, the main house. They used to have dances up there. We went up there to dance. I think that's where I taught my husband to dance. He's the only man I ever went with that didn't know how to dance. And then I had to marry him. But Pinkerton.
Uh-huh, Pinkerton.
Pinkerton was the name of the other one.
Good.
See, it isn't even on the highway anymore.
Yeah.
But
I don't know whether it still is there.
I think it is. Oops. I'm not sure. We went across Baker's Bridge, you know where that is, and came down through Pinkerton. And it was still, but that's been, I don't know how long ago.
And which one did you prefer? Pinkerton or Trimble?
Well, I think the swimming pool at Trimble was the best. But and both of them had dance halls in them. But anyway, it just depended on, but they used to have pretty good dances at Trimble. I think they really, the most I remember dancing at Pinkerton was like on Sunday we'd be up there on a picnic and then we'd just go in. And they did have an orchestra that played there though. I can't remember what the name of it was now.
It'd be one regular orchestra that played there regularly.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I don't know, well, probably only Saturday and Sunday. I doubt if anybody went up any other time. But I know they had, Pinkerton was still serving dinners up there in 69. Because we went up there for dinner. Ed's cousin, his aunt and uncle, and the cousin and her husband came up. And we all went. The aunt and uncle didn't go. But we went up and ate dinner at Pinkerton.
Okay, so you were getting to the point where you had to take a job because your husband had the heart attack.
Oh, mm-hmm.
So where did you start working?
Well, they used to be, what did they call it? It had big machinery down on 3rd Avenue when they were, do you remember, how long have you lived here?
Just since 91.
No.
Not that
they
long.
Rebuilt the highway south of town. You know, they cut out all those big things, and I went to work down there. The girl next door came over and told me she was quitting. So I went down to applied for the job and got it.
Are you talking about at one of the smelters?
No. The smelter wasn't here. See, the smelter, they only ran about till 32, I think, and they quit. And then they turned it, when the uranium, they discovered uranium, why they made they didn't call it uranium, or did they?
Vanadium.
Vanadium plant, yeah, out of it. But that was in, I was married, I think. I remember watching them blow those smokestacks down. We went down on the end of Third Avenue. And Ed was carrying one of the kids in his arms. But I can't remember what year it was in. See, it sat, the building sat there for quite a while before uranium came in, vanadium. Mm-hmm. And Ed was driving for the movies over there right where that Steen found the uranium, right on the highway. He went by there every day, but he didn't have a Geiger counter, so he didn't.
Did people know that it was uranium being smelted there?
They
knew?
Yeah, and they all complained because they thought it was, and they still complain about it. Now they're complaining about the train. The people down there, it makes black dust on the table. So they want them to stop. And I said, well, now when we first moved back here, they had the smelter going. See, it went till I was clear through high school. And a couple of years afterwards, because I graduated with the two girls that their dad was the head of the smelter. And I think they were here. See, I went to California and we were living out at the ranch. And I don't remember when they left. But they went to college too. But when he left here, he went down into Mexico and ran the smelter down there. And the oldest girl, she's the only one that got married. She married a Mexican man down there. He was a handsome guy. They came up here and we had a dance for him. But anyway, let's see. I got the job. And
it was this side of the river. This side of the river?
No, it was in the old smelter building.
Huh, so you were working in the old smelter
building? No, I was working down here on Third Avenue.
Oh, on Third Avenue.
I wasn't working for Vanadium.
Oh, okay.
I was just working for the company that they had. Oh, what was that guy's name? They had the big equipment, the cats. Caterpillars.
Earth moving.
The caterpillars.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
And that's where I was working. And then this upstairs was vacant, and I rented it to this couple, and they had two little kids. She was Mexican. She'd been married to a Mexican and had the little kids, and then she married a white guy. And I told her if she went to work, she'd have to get a babysitter for the kids because they were only in the first and second grade. Well, I came home one day and the people were gone and they were out on the back porch. I've got cement down there on the balcony, lighting matches and throwing them over. Well, I went to it. This was at noon, and I told them to quit. I made them quit, but their parents weren't there. So I went back to my job and I quit. Of course, I had to give them 2 weeks. And when the 2 weeks was up, I went up and I told her, I said, don't you dare leave those. Well, I told her right not to leave the kids alone anymore. And then I really told her when I was going to be home, but I wanted to be here. And so I told her that she, not to ever leave them again. Well, how are we going out to dinner? I said, I don't care if you never go out to dinner. And I raised the rent $10, so they moved. And that's what I wanted in the first place. But I don't know why people are like that. Mm. Of course, see, I've tended to rent in this house ever since I was a junior in high school, so you learn a lot about people.
Yeah.
I haven't said any names. I'm saving money.
Oh, that's good.
Of course, now, I have, what is it you get when you get old?
Social Security.
Social Security. I have my husband's Social Security because I never worked enough.
See,
you have to work 10 years.
Right.
And I didn't. I worked just a little over a year down there when I quit.
Yeah.
And I was really kind of unhappy, and yet I didn't really care too much because I like to be home with the kids.
That's good. How do you think the role of women changed during the years that you were living in
this
house? Well,
I remember when my daughter had to go to work so they could buy a house in Denver. And my husband had a fit. He said it's a crime when both of them have to work to just buy a house. But she did. She had four children, I think, when she went to work. And but she had them taken care of. She had a babysitter. I don't remember. Well, after we quit, we came back from California in 62. And when we managed motels, we managed the Royal first, and then we laid off that winter and went south. I guess we were in them around 6 years altogether. But we did go down south because I thought maybe it'd help Ed's arthritis. He had arthritis so bad that he couldn't hold a job really, only that he was working in California with these two cousins of his, and he did more work than they did. But anyway, that's why we went into the motel business.
And what was that like, running the Royal?
Oh, I didn't mind it. He wasn't too crazy about it. But he was real wonderful. He never complained. But anyhow.
How do you think tourism has changed in Durango over the years?
Well, I really don't know too much because, we went south that winter and then we came back and went into the Silver Spur and we managed that for a while. But I imagine that, I know that the rates have gone up, something terrible. We charged $6 for a room.
Back in the 60s.
Yeah. And now I'm sure they're 45, maybe more. I notice these signs that they have, the prices, and it's ridiculous. But I guess they're getting it. Oh, I started to tell you about the smelter when we first moved back here. And we had the smelter. We had a train that went to Farmington, a train that went to Cortez, and the train that came in here and went to Silverton. We had all that smoke. And you'd look out the front door down there, and you looked like you were in an inferno, except there were no flames, just smoke. But I never noticed it in the house. I don't think it ever really came in our house.
And most people were burning coal in the winter.
Everybody was burning coal, yeah. Yeah, I forgot that. Yeah, we had the coal furnace. And we burnt coal, I can't remember. I think while we were in the motel was when Ed had it converted to gas, the furnace. But up until then, we burnt coal all the time in the furnace. But he got rid of all those stoves. Sitting around here. That would have been horrible, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
I don't know. The man that built this house was the manual training teacher at the high school at the time. He built it in 1915.
What was his name?
I was going to tell you, now I can't think of it. Maybe I'll think of it pretty soon. But I was getting ready to go someplace, and I looked out the door, and somebody was down there taking pictures of the front of the house. And so I put on a house coat and went and asked them what they were doing. And they were, the man was the son of the man that built this house. And they had come and they wanted to take pictures of it. And he said his wife was sick, and I said, well, I have an appointment, but why don't you come back to see me? I'd like to visit with you. But he never did. He said his wife wasn't feeling good. So this was his daughter, I guess, and her husband that was taking the pictures. But he's the one that told me, I had papers, and I figured they built it about 1910 because he had borrowed $5,000. And back then, you know, you could do a lot with $5,000. But he said they built it in 1519. But he was in the fifth grade. And I was in the third when we bought it.
Well, What else would you like to tell us about that I haven't, that we haven't talked about yet?
Oh, not anything especially, only that everybody's moved, and I used to know everybody in the neighborhood, you know. Mm. And they build all these new houses. Mm. And the price, I do know that that stucco one, the one cracked, the gray one right across here, I got acquainted with the first lady that bought it. They had college kids over there for a while, and it's about to drive me nuts. I'd come home. I used to go to the dance on Friday night. We had one at the center. And somebody would be parked right in front of the driveway. So I'd just stop out there and blow the horn. Somebody would come out, and they'd go find whoever belonged to the car and move the car so I could get my car in the driveway. And so finally, he sold it to these people. I think she was the first one that I went to see, and I asked her how much she paid for it. I would call it a $5,000 house. She paid $140,000 for that house. And so that's what's happened to property here. Mm. Now, I don't know. See, Goodman's had their house all along, and Don May came before. Well, I don't think he paid that much for the house he has, because he came before all, they said everybody from California was here. They all made money down there, and they came over here and built houses. Have you ever driven up Junction Creek and all around? Well, the people downstairs took me. I didn't know what they were doing up there. And those are gorgeous houses that they have sitting up on all the hills. I know when we built our cabin up the Florida, it was just a dirt road. It wasn't even graveled. But we built it in 48 is when we built it, the main part. Then we added on, after we quit the motel business, we added on kitchen and bathroom. We didn't even have electricity up there when we first built it. Mm. And Ed sawed all the logs. My dad helped him and crossed them, you know, sawed them so they'd cross like this. And the original logs were green, and they were sawed on three sides. And my mother and I and the two older kids, we had these kind of draw knives, and we peeled the third saw, the fourth side, you know, to make it nice and round outside. Mm-hmm. And then Ed went to the extension agent and got a book on what to do about the windows with green logs. And we never had a bit of trouble, because he put windows in on the front that were metal, had metal frames on them. But we took windows out of here that went up and down like this, and we laid them down on the riverside, and they were wooden, and it didn't hurt them at all. We had 100 inches of snow up there one year. And, well, we had it in Durango, too. And Ed was already gone. He died in 69. But I had gone to Denver, and I was taking care of Kenny's kids. And I decided to bring them home on the train. And so, no, on the plane. We flew down. Anyway, I called up. She always went. We came on Sunday, and she always went to church downstairs. And so to leave out a broom so I could sweep the steps, because, you know, you walk on snow and you've got ice. She says, oh, it's all melted, except what slid off of the house. And there was a big pile in that little north yard there that had slid off of the house. But the rest of it was gone. Of course, see, when it snows in the spring, it doesn't last because it gets warm. But they said it did snow 100 inches. And it was quite a good pile of snow out there.
Well, looking back, Mrs. Rowe, what can we learn from your lifetime of experiences?
Just live and take it as it comes. Well, isn't that what you have to do?
That's right. Mm-hmm. Well, it seems like you've done a good job of doing that.
Well, I'm proud of my kids. They didn't get on dope anyway. And I'm glad. And my grandson went to Fort Lewis up here. And some of the kids up there, they do.
What's his name? Your grandson who went to the fort?
Destin Rowe.
Uh-huh.
But he's the one that's in Florida now.
Uh-huh.
And,
Right.
No, I am. I'm real proud of all my kids.
Oh, wow.
My daughter has 4 children, and they're all real good. They're married. And I, my mother-in-law had, what was it, 12 grandchildren. And out of those 12 grandchildren, 3 of them hadn't been married. Well, my 2 grandchildren, my son Gordon's kids aren't married yet. But Gordon was the only one that hadn't been divorced and remarried. Mm. All the rest of them that were married, they did.
Mm.
Even my 2.
Mm.
But,
what do you think the reason is for the growth in the number of divorces?
I don't know. Partly because the women work. They all think they had... I had one daughter-in-law that she said she had to work. She just couldn't stay home with the mentality of those kids. I almost told her that it was better than hers. But I didn't want to make an enemy. But I mean, that's ridiculous. Just to get out of the house away from the kids. And I liked my kids. I liked to stay home with them. And I was usually home when they got home from school. And then I went up and stayed with Sue's. Well, Ed and I both went up. We'd spend the winters up there when we quit the motel. And she bought a house with an unfinished